I wonder if this is this word that we've used a few times, the word authority, is really the whole issue with Elijah and his ministry. Because authority, isn't it often where we have our stumbling blocks, like Obadiah did? And yet, where does all authority come from? It comes from God. We read that in Romans 13. There is no authority except from God. And we are to be subject to authorities unless those authorities begin to challenge God. And how amazing that Elijah had a grip on this in his soul. He knew exactly where all authority came from. And he knew that the authorities that existed in that land were challenging God. And therefore, this whole scene that we come to shows that Elijah has full confidence in the authority and power of God. There is no question in his mind of what God can do. And I think that's so important for us. You know, we often hesitate because, in a sense, we don't believe the authority that God has and what he can do. Therefore, we hesitate, we halt between two opinions sometimes. We don't take that step that we need to. And I think this is what we need to understand. There was a centurion in Matthew 8 who recognized this himself. He says, I'm a man under authority. And he was recognizing that the Lord Jesus is that man who was under the authority of his God and Father, but who had the authority to speak a word and his servant would be healed. That is authority. You know, the authorities of this world can speak to policemen or the armies to do certain things, but the Lord Jesus has an authority that can speak, like we have here in chapter 17. God can command, and things take place. No question about it. And so Elijah knew that God, this is the God he served. And therefore, the challenge is really not between Elijah and the people. The challenge is really between, as we said, between God and these idolatrous systems.
Could we also make the point in verse 21 that Elijah addressed the entire nation. And he says there, the verses, how long will you fall between two opinions? And imagine, this is really a people who should have known Jehovah as the true God. And if you look at the end of the section, when they saw God's answer, they then exclaim, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That's, in a sense, it's sad that it took that for them to realize that this was the true God all along. And maybe it's a challenge to us that, you know, that there are many of us who may be brought up in Christian homes, come into the meetings, and are sort of acquainted with the Lord, but are struggling with going off into the world or really focusing on the Lord. And I really think that this is a big challenge for many of us today. This is where we are. We are just like this. Are we going to really commit ourselves to the Lord, or are we going to go on with the world, which is attracting us?
This is real confidence in Elijah, isn't it? When he presented the challenge to these men, to Ahab and his prophets, he said, okay, I'm going to be pouring 12 containers of water on this sacrifice. He didn't tell them that they had to do that. He said, I'm going to do it on my sacrifice. You just call on your little God, who can't do two things at the same time. And I'm going to call on the Lord. And he poured water on this, and as though this was not sufficient, he put water in the trench. And we see that this is confidence, isn't it? This is another challenge to us. When we ask, we need to expect. And because of, you know, James, as we've said, has said this, we are the same as Elijah. We have the same nature as he had. If we believe, God is going to answer our prayers also. We need to have that confidence in him so that nothing is too hard. We wouldn't consider anything too hard for our Lord. We should just depend on him. This is real confidence. You know, if you pour water, the fireman goes around, he pours water on fire to put it out. Here, Elijah is putting water before the fire goes. You can't light a match and put it in water. It'll never catch. But he just had that confidence, and he said, okay, I'm going to do this to show you that the Lord, he is God. He had already acknowledged this before the people did.
It's eye-catching to see Elijah repairing the broken altar of the Lord, Jehovah. And it's wonderful to see a prophet that is originally, as we said in the first session, from the 10 tribes, and in a divided nation, would not take 10 stones, but would take 12 stones. He's someone that is looking to the altar as the altar of Jehovah that belongs to him with his people as he views them united and not divided. And I think in this we do have an application for nowadays. When we see the ruin around in Christendom, I don't think we need to make fun of any ruin, but to be sad about it and look to it as we look every Lord's Day morning in the one loaf of the body of Christ that is united. And it's wonderful. When he asked for water, he asked for 4 pitchers. First time, second time, and third time. That's 12 pitchers, one for each tribe of Israel. Elijah is uniting himself with the mind of God, looking at the people of God as God sees them. It's wonderful. Sometimes we tend toward sectarianism in seeing the people of God as this denomination or that denomination. May the Lord help us and treat the people of God as God's people and look to them as God looks to them.